dark, the mist is swirling. You're abseiling down from Nelion, one of the twin peaks of Mount Kenya, and somewhere 1,000 feet below your feet is the Lewis Glacier. You've tied a knot in the end of your rope because you don't want to abseil off that, because gravity will take over. But you're not quite sure where you are. You're disorientated, you're lost, and you're fearful. It's one of the most profound rock climbing experiences of my life. But as you can see, I found the glacier, so all is well. But being lost, lonely, uncertain about the way forward is a universal human experience. And I asked Louise, you know, a time when she was lost and she remembered it very profoundly and very quickly. But there's one thing to be lost physically in life, but what about spiritually? Where do we fit? Where is God? How to make sense of this life and the direction we should go in? And writers throughout history have posed that question, and I have four quotes for you. I hesitate to say that I have not read all these books in case you think I'm some literary colossus. But Eric Maria Remarque, who wrote All Quiet on the Western Front, "We are forlorn like children and experienced like old men. We are crude and sorrowful and superficial. I believe we are lost." Errol Ozan said, "Some beautiful paths can't be discovered without getting lost." So a little bit of hopefulness in that. It's rather nice. Getting lost is just another way of saying, I'm going exploring. Well, that's fine until you find yourself on your own. I'm not sure where you take the next step. A few weeks ago, when we were having the privilege of being at Balliol College, our patron, we went on the Addison Walk. It's a walk that C.S. Lewis at Magdalen College took every lunchtime. It goes near the Deer Park. And on that walk, with Tolkien and others, he realized that the gospel was true, and he came to faith, and we walked in the footsteps of these giants. But Lewis, as friend Tolkien wrote, "Not all those who wander are lost." And it depends where we're wandering, and in which direction, and whose voice we're heeding. Whose directions do we follow? And on Good Shepherd Sunday, it's good to review why we find ourselves lost at times in life. Because I believe there's a profound hope for all of us and the world. And of course, it's a passage rich and full of imagery. If you run out of this sermon and go over to Flitton, you can spend the altogether service looking for sheep that Louise has hidden all over the church. But hopefully they will all be found. And God wants to find us. He doesn't want anyone to be lost or lonely. But we are creative escape artists. Let's, you know, be honest about it. So I was thinking, why do we get lost? Why do we run from God? Probably more so than in recent years, people have been saying things along the lines of, I don't know where the world is going. It's going to hell in a handcart. And they withdraw at the state of the world and the uncertainty. Fear and panic and worry make us lost from one another and God all the time. Following the wrong leader, the wrong shepherd. And sadly, this has been true within the Christian church. There's a series on iPlayer at the moment called The Disciples, and it tells a harrowing and a shocking story of people who've been misled by a prosperity gospel giant called T.B. Joshua in Nigeria. Jesus is very clear here that there are people who would ultimately steal, kill, and destroy for their own ends. That is not what the Good Shepherd is like. And I've said this before and I will say it again. I will let you down. But if I point you to Jesus, you will never be lost. Grazing trance. I quite like this idea of a sheep that's so besotted with eating grass that it carries on and never looks up until finally it wonders, where the heck has the flock gone? I'm sure there were a few others, but they're no longer with me. And the modern day parallel of that is people on their mobile phones, you know, or their earbuds in, you know, this ongoing kind of confrontation with people. Can they hear me, or are they pretending they haven't seen me? And that face down looking, it's not so removed from a sheep scenario, is it? And I've literally seen people, as I'm sure you have, walk into walls, doors, lampposts, people. It happens, doesn't it? It's called grazing trance. But there's a delightful story about how sheep escaped. It was set in the north of England. All the fences were in place. And these sheep kept finding themselves on the other side of the mountain, you know, in other farmers' fields. And the farmers could not work out how on earth are these sheep escaping. They set up CCTV cameras on the cattle grids. And unbelievably, the sheep got to the cattle grid, lay sideways, and rolled over the grid. They're not quite as stupid as we think, but it just shows how inventive they and we are to run away from the shepherd's voice and where there is security and safety. We're always curious. Is the grass greener on the other side? And when you stare at the Mara River and the wildebeests, that's genuinely why they cross the river. And many of them meet their end there. It isn't so green and safe. There are predators around. And that's the imagery that Jesus uses in this picture, in this passage. Because when there's a lack of shepherding, when there's a lack of direction, by definition, we are following the wrong shepherd. We're following ourselves or somebody else. Strong words here about not following a stranger, somebody we don't know or we can't trust. Images of the gate, the good shepherd, the God who knows us by name and calls you by name. The God who can be trusted. The God who doesn't impose himself on us, but gently directs us. And there's a beautiful passage of what that discipleship journey means in Acts 2, about how we live our lives and use the resources God has blessed us with. Because it's our own decisions that generally mean that we are lost. It's a picture very rich within Scripture. I don't doubt that as Jesus is speaking here, and John records it, it's harking back to Ezekiel, as chapter 34, a warning about false shepherds. But this is what God describes himself as in Ezekiel, and you can see Jesus is picking up on that and reinforcing it and saying, I'm the shepherd, I'm the one you can trust. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they're scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. That's a message that everyone needs to hear. And it's true. So wherever you are, however close you are to the shepherd or however distant and feeling lost, there is a message of hope here. It's very simple. It's Jesus using those I am definitive statements. In case you wondered, this is who I am. This is what God is like. This is why I came. Jesus, the gate, the access to being safe eternally. And he invites us to learn to hear his voice and to trust it, to be led home safely. And that glorious promise, and it's my Bible verse for life, John 10:10b. I came that you may have life, not kind of fairly dull stuff, life in all its fullness, in all its abundance. Because actually, we're with God in the right place. And that's all we need. That's all we need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this profound but simple picture of you as a good shepherd. And whether we are near and can see and hear your voice, or far away, help us to come close to you. Help us to know your love that protects and guides. Help us to follow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.